to those that are in work, or those that are seeking work, but also within those that are in work, those that are satisfied, those that are frustrated, those that feel that they've got enough work, that they've got too much work, that they've got too little work, and also those that are retired from formal, employed, paid work. But I hope that what we consider this morning even will help all of us to consider both for those that are in paid work, but also for those that are working within the community, or within this fellowship, or within other contexts, that we can have a right attitude to work. It's been entitled Working 9 to 5, which is sort of slightly restrictive in its description, but I think it was trying an allusion to a song, etc. But the idea of relationships in work. But before we do that, I deliberately asked actually for a few verses before the formal passage to be shared with us. Because I think in that first part of the reading, it reminds us of so many of the foundations that need to be in place if we are to really know that we've got positive relationships. And I'd like to use the first part of the reading just to remind us that we need to put on the new self when it comes to our relationships, including in the workplace. And in this part of the letter to the Christians at Colossae, he wants the Colossians to know, and us as his later readers of this letter, that's Paul, wants us to know for sure that we have been clothed with the Holy Spirit. And so he gives us several ways in which we can tell if we're full of the Holy Spirit. And in my view, they helpfully summarise some of the areas that we've been considering over the past weeks. So, Paul writes about being clothed in the Holy Spirit is shown in our attitude to others in verses 12 to 14. He goes on to say that we can know that we are clothed in the Spirit in being shown in the way that he guides us. And Liz has given testimony to that earlier on, and others as well. Paul writes that being clothed in the Holy Spirit is shown in the way we worship. And thank you to the worship group for leading us so helpfully corporately, but it's also in individual worship and worship in smaller groups. Paul writes that being clothed in the Holy Spirit is shown in our daily lives and how we conduct our daily lives. And then in verses 18 to 21, it's shown in our family life. And I believe we'll be thinking more about that in coming weeks. But what we're focusing on this morning is being clothed in the Holy Spirit, being shown in our work life. And in order to introduce and to set the theme, and potentially, because I haven't briefed them totally, steal my thunder, I'm inviting a few members of Unity to come and share briefly about their work. So if the quartet, I believe it is, of Louise, Lydia, Afi and Mass would like to come up, that would be great. So the first question I'd like to ask them, just very briefly, just tell us what your work is, please.
Primarily, I'm an electrician, but I have other skills, which, this is very loud, which is utilised at work.
Thank you.
Good morning. Primarily, I'm a personal trainer in the city, in a gym, in a mainstream gym called Fitness First, and I work with all manners of people from all walks of life, so you get to see some interesting characters.
Hello, I work in the health sector. I'm a nurse and midwife. That's my primary role.
Hi, I'm also working in the health sector. I'm a research nurse, and we work into looking at newer and better treatments for patients with autoimmune disease.
Thank you. So the second question I'd like them just to consider is, how does your Christian faith affect your work?
Well, firstly, some of the tasks I undertake can be quite challenging. And there are times when, and this happened on Monday as it happens, there was a time during Monday when I actually thought, I can't do this job. Honestly, I've got so far and I've done so much damage and I couldn't finish this job by myself. No word of a lie. And I'd been at it for about 5 hours at that stage. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to have to get somebody else to do this. And then I said a little prayer. And honestly, within the next 20 minutes, bum, 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 the whole thing went together and it worked. And nobody was more amazed than me.
You know, it's difficult because you take it to work with you, but you meet people from just a Gentile nature. They're not of Christian faith. They might not even of Muslim faith. They're not of any faith. They just work in the city and they're going about their day. But they're coming in with a different type of mentality, and they're working with high profile financial problems or law problems. You're dealing with it all. But what you could do is you bring them down to, they come down to a base level and you're meeting them, and they have problems just like everybody else, and you can utilize your knowledge of what God says to encourage them as much as you can. Sometimes they could be gay, they could be straight, but they all have partners, and some of their partners put themselves first. And what you can say to them is, well, God says to love yourself and love each other as much as you love yourself. So I've had a few this week where you mention to them, is this the person for you? Because he seems to be putting himself first. And, it's just one aspect. And he's, this gentleman's gay as well. And he starts to just cross his mind a little bit and look at his own relationship. Some of the guys, they will come in and they have carnal thoughts, especially with regards to maybe the women. So you're actually trying to maybe bring them, just calm them down as well, because it's a hostile environment, the gym, you can have lustful intentions. There are different thoughts that are going through their minds, and you have to ask God for help in situations to assist them as well with their issues, because we're all going to be suffering with the same thoughts. And just as they brought, we might not have illnesses, we might not have anything that needs healing, but we do need our sins forgiven. And those are things that really, really challenge you every day.
So likewise, are either effects or challenges that you face?
Okay. I meet people often when they are in the most vulnerable situations. Either the birth of a child where the child has a lifelong medical condition, or to give them news that they don't want to hear. I also have the privilege of being in people's homes where they could let down their guards and they could be more like themselves. One of the challenges working in the health sector is that we are not allowed to bring in religion. My way around it is when I see people in those situations, I say to them that some people find it helpful if they've got a faith to rely on that in situations like these. And sometimes they would then take from that and a conversation would start. And I've had situations where I've been asked to pray for people. With my colleagues, where I have more flexibility, there has been times where I've asked them, would you like me to pray for you? And, they've always said yes. And so, I just thank God for those opportunities. And the challenges, I know that even in those, God is there.
Thank you. And finally, I believe Louise has just got a little sort of testimony stroke.
I do, yes. So I guess, you know, you all know that the health service is in crisis, and we all are facing spectacular sort of challenges to getting things done. And I just want to share a little story that actually really, really sort of just struck me recently, and I hope you guys will indulge with me. So I want you to experience the story why I did, and you know, I'm not going to bore you with facts and things like that, but I just want you to imagine for a second that on my left-hand side, there's like a whole group of Philistines, and on my right-hand side, there is the Israelites. And the story is really about the greatest war that never happened, and they were in the situation where these Philistines were waiting for one word to attack the Israelites. And the Israelites put forward a small shepherd boy, and the Philistines countered with a giant. Now, I always have really struggled with faith in my life. You know, I'm sometimes a bit cynical, thinking, oh, that's not going to work like that, you know. And I think what I've learned over the last couple of years is, actually, God works in ways that's not bound by our thoughts. He is actually a miraculous God, and he just asks faith from us. So I always thought David picked up 5 stones because maybe one he would miss, you know, maybe that. But actually, when you read a bit further in the Bible, Goliath had there were 5 giants. So it was Goliath, he had a brother, and then there were 3 family members. So actually, David picked up 5 stones because he might have to face up more than one giant. You know, and sometimes there's giants in our lives. It's depression, it's anxiety, you know, work things. But you know, God is just with us every time. He's already worked out a plan. You know, all we have to do is just pick up a stone and he can end wars.
Thank you so much to our quartet, and do quiz them afterwards and ask them very different contexts, very different challenges, and going to be encouraging us towards the end of our time, actually praying for one another in work. So thank you so much, much appreciated. So now we turn to the passage and perhaps consider it and one other passage, short passage that I'd like to consider. So what should our attitude to work and our relationships at work be? Well, Paul writes in verses 22 to 24, "Slaves, obey your masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Right. These, as we see, are words to Christian slaves. Now, at this time, about half the inhabitants of the Roman Empire were slaves to the other half. Most households, especially the larger ones, would have several slaves. Thus, they formed an important part of the economy of the empire. People often ask, well, why don't the scriptures directly address the problem of slavery? Why were not masters instructed to free their slaves? The answer is that the conditions were not at all ripe for that. They weren't right. Several attempts to get revolt going among the slaves had already occurred in the Roman history. The slave Spartacus had already led a revolt that was crushed with an iron fist, resulting in even worse conditions for slaves. It's important to understand that it's not merely a reaction of Christians to those in control that results in freedom. There must first be a change of atmosphere and of heart, perhaps, that will allow for this. And that's why the word exhorts slaves to personally control themselves and obey their masters. Not as many were tempted to do, obey outwardly, but with a heart of resentment, but instead with genuine service as unto the Lord. There's a story told, true or apocryphal, I don't know, of a missionary who was responsible for getting a group of workers in a rural area to do certain jobs. He discovered that they were all actually rather lazy and would only perform while he was actually watching them. When he left, they would stop work and do nothing until he returned. Now this man had a glass eye, and one day the eye was irritating him, and he took it out and put it on a stump. When he returned, he found that everybody was still working because the eye, as they thought, was watching them all whilst he was away. And that's what the apostle is talking about when he says here, eye service, doing things just because you're being watched. However, the story goes on, because the man thought he found a great way to free himself, until one day he returned to discover that one of the workers had sneaked around from behind the eye and put his hat over the eye, and everybody was lounging around enjoying themselves. The danger of eye service, just doing things whilst people are watching. And we need to apply the words of Paul in the realm of our work today. When we commit ourselves to work for somebody, we are, in a sense, selling ourselves as, in inverted commas, a slave for the hours involved. Employers cannot control the rest of our life, but they have a right to control our life during working hours. So these words have direct reference to us. We're not to work only whilst the boss is watching. As the apostle says, whatever we do it, we are to work at it with all of our heart, as we are working for the Lord, not for men. Since we know that we will receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that we're serving in our work. And anyone who does wrong, that will be repaid for this wrong. There's no favouritism. His appeal is very clear when we say we are to work as unto the Lord. That's to be our motivation. It's the Lord Christ we're serving. I would argue that perhaps I as an employee and each of us as an employee ought to write it down in our, perhaps on our phones or in our hearts, okay, but on a piece of paper and put it somewhere to remind ourselves, especially when the going's getting tough. It is the Lord Christ I'm serving. Encourage us to beware of just thinking that we work for anyone else as our prime boss as a believer. Work only for the Lord. Your employer may well pay your wage or salary, but it's the Lord for whom you're working. And if we do that, if we take that on board, the quality and quantity of our work are likely to improve because we're working out of gratitude for the Lord. Love for the Lord, and love generally, of course, is the greatest driving force in life. What a change it would make to how we view work if we took on board the words, work without love is slavery. So those are the words to the slaves. You get. But what about the attitude of those that are in positions of responsibility, bosses? What did Paul say to them? He said, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Employers and those with responsibility within work organisations should be concerned about how generously and justly they treat their workers. Again, it is all to be done in the light of, to use a workplace phrase, the great appraisal that is to come, when our hearts will be revealed. Here is revealed God's concern for justice and fairness. One of the commentators suggests that perhaps in those days of slavery, masters were being gently exhorted in the passage to provide means by which slaves could build up a financial fund whereby they could eventually buy their freedom. Thus, in times thus in time rather, conditions and attitudes towards slavery would change and the practice would disappear from the empire. And that in fact is what eventually happened. Without a violent overthrow, without revolution of any kind, the preaching and the teaching of equality in Christ changed the atmosphere of the Roman Empire, and slaves at last were set free. But we need, if we're in positions of responsibility, to take the words of Paul and put them into practice today. What does it mean for us if we have positions of responsibility within a workplace? It means that we should be providing for employees, or those whom we have responsibility as line managers, what is just, right and fair. Yes, financially, but also in lots of other contexts, in terms of environment, in terms of emotional and other support, in terms of care and actual interest in them as individuals. Let's be pressing for a society to affirm just employers in the image of Jesus, the ultimate employer. And let us, as a church, be a just and fair employer of our employees. Yes, preeminently at the moment, Dave, but I also think of May, who comes week by week to clean the building. Let's be just and fair employer. But I want to broaden the consideration and help us to think not just of those that are employed, but also all of us engaged in any work within the community. Whether it's work that is paid or unpaid, whether it's in an organisation or just within the community. What should be our attitude to work, and specifically our relationships within work? A prayer that I regularly pray in the morning before I go to work is a very simple prayer. It says, Lord, let me be salt and light at work today. Echoing Jesus' words in Matthew 5. And I just want to finish by considering, what does it mean to be salt in our workplace? And I use workplace in the widest definition. And what does it mean to be light in our workplace? And for each, just a couple of brief reflections. What does it mean to be salt in our workplace? Being salt at work means adding flavour or bringing good taste. Paul later on in Colossians 4, we didn't have it read, said, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's be bringing gracious, good taste in our words and actions in the workplace. Our co-workers should see us as being a joy to have around, and that our speech and actions are good and gracious and bringing good taste. But secondly, being salt, I believe, also means encouraging the good. Or you could look at it as preserving the good. Salt, as we know, historically and still, can be used to preserve things, to keep them from going bad. And we're going to, and I would encourage us in our workplaces to be preservers of the good. In other words, looking out for the good and standing up for it. Looking out to seek to preserve good in relationships rather than bad. So that might involve avoiding or addressing gossip. It might involve looking at what is going well and encouraging those with positions of responsibility that they ought to be kept, especially if they're thinking of cutting them for profit purposes, or they're thinking of cutting them because of prestige or whatever. I'd encourage us to be preservers of good. But in the passage in Matthew, he also goes on to talk about being light. And I believe light in our work, one of the things it means is reflecting God's goodness. And hence, in a very pale way in many senses, but in a powerful way, bringing, presenting the glory of God in our workplaces. That can be in our actions towards others. It can be that we are in some small way seeking to be Jesus, the light of the world's presence in our workplaces. Our presence should bring lightness to situations, because Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, not and give glory to you, but and give glory to the Father, your Father, who is in heaven. But I believe it's more than that. I believe it's more than just being. I believe, similar to being salt and actively preserving, I believe that, finally, being light at work means shining light into the darkness. So not helping to preserve what is good, but then shining light into the dark corners of workplaces. And saying, where there's a lack of justice, speaking out. Where there's a lack of care or fairness, being prepared to do battle. And in order for our fellow workers to gain justice and care, it may well be that we have to stand up and be light. Jesus said, people don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. We need to be prepared to stand up for what is good, honourable, true and right in our workplaces and dispel actions and situations of darkness. So my challenge to each of us, in the light of what Paul wrote and also what Jesus said in Matthew, is let's be salt and light in our places of work, whatever they are. But I am aware, and Liz has shared, that those actually in workplaces, as in jobs, okay, have special pressures. And I want to, just in our last 5 minutes together, to spend time praying for our people that are in work. Four people shared their challenges and little insights. But what I'd like to do, just, and it's also just helpful for people to see, is I'd like, please, people to stand up if they are in jobs of, if you like, occupation paid work, because I believe that we need to be praying that these individuals would be salt and light in their communities. And what I'd like us to do is to just gather in three or four groups and just be praying for those individuals. We haven't got time for each individual to share their challenges, but if you're aware of a challenge, you can pray. But I want us to actually spend 5 minutes praying together for our workers. So perhaps, first of all, just that we know that we're going to get a nice balance. And also just to see the individuals that are in jobs of work that need our prayer to be salt and light. Yes, I want us to more generally be salt and light. But can, first of all, those that are in occupations, please stand. Thank you. Right.